helper for us. And so the title of our message this morning is A Helper for All Occasions. Now, when it comes to asking for help, there's three kinds of people in this world. There's the person that never asks for help from anybody. You know the type, even if they were lost forever, they would refuse to ask directions. Now, I'm somewhere in between one and three, or two and three. Then there are guys like me, drive around lost for an hour or so. Then we finally do ask directions and we don't pay attention, so we're still just as lost as we were before. Amen. So, then there's a person that really realizes their weaknesses and are willing to ask and receive the help anytime and ask for as long as they need it. And you know what? Help is always what awaits each and every Christian. We have the promise that if we ask, we will have the one living in us who is capable, willing to help us at any time. Turn with me, if you will, to John 14. We're going to look at John 14, 16 through 18. The Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. And the Bible says in John 14, 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and he shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." Let's pray. Father, we do give you thanks this morning, Lord, for being our God, being our Savior, being our Comforter in our times of need. And Lord, I ask that you would just forgive each and every one of us of our shortcomings. We know we all come short of your glory. And I pray this morning for someone here or out there listening this morning that does not know Jesus as a personal Savior, that today would be their day to do that. And Lord, we pray for the Brother Page as he does the services at Colonial Nursing Home this morning. Be with him. I pray for our country and its leaders, Lord, and I pray for those who hate so much what's going on in the world, Lord, and we just pray for them that they would find some compassion in their heart. Now I pray you'd give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' precious name, for his sake. Amen. Now, you know, just like there's two different kinds of people, that some ask for physical and financial help when they need it, and then others don't. As far as physical help, that's when you need some help doing something physical. Let's say I have something heavy to lift. I have two choices, and I usually choose number one, do it myself. B, or you could ask someone to help you. And the same is true with God, about asking God for help. We can either try to do it ourselves without asking, even though the Bible is full of ways God tells us he wants to help us. For instance, let's say that I'm having a problem in my life. It doesn't really matter what they are. It could be financial, physical, or spiritually. Spiritual, I have the same two choices. I can either ask God for help, or I can try to do it myself, which you usually don't get too far. So as far as getting physical help, that's up to you and me as individuals. Either we break our backs or we ask for help. And spiritually, we either die spiritually or we ask for help. But this morning we're going to look at the fact that the spiritual and physical help that is always available to each one of us. God is our helper. He says, as we look at our God being our helper, we see the Bible tells us about the power he possesses. Now, before we start, it's important that you and I realize that all through the ages, men have known their need for both physical and spiritual help. Over the years, even today, people have been creating their own gods, trying to recreate the one we already have. People tend to want to make God what they think he ought to be. But as much as man wants a God that evolves with the time, you and I don't have that kind of a God. Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as far as him evolving, the way the world is evolving, the way a lot of our churches are evolving, it's not going to happen. Once again, you and I can learn so much from just what the Bible tells us about one man, King David. We all know that he was a king that ruled most of the known world at the time. He had all the riches and power, but he still knew his need for help. The Bible tells us several times, just in the book of Psalms, what David thought about spiritual help that was offered him. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 81, or 18. Psalm 18, verse 1. And we'll just look at a few of them this morning. There's at least 50 times in the Psalms alone that record David's personal relationship with God. We're just going to look at four of these, beginning with Psalm 18, 1 and 2. And we'll see David. We'll see David's personal relationship with the Almighty God, the one and only God, the Creator God. And here's what he says. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So you see here David saying, he understands that his strength comes from God. Verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. You see, David refers to God here as both his physical helper and his spiritual helper. A rock, when he says he is my rock, or fortress, or a high tower, these were all places that David could go to be protected from the arrows and the spears thrown at him. So David was looking for his physical protection here. The horn of salvation meant that David looked for God, to God, for both his spiritual and eternal salvation. Turn with me again to Psalm 30. And we'll see David is thankful for the help. I believe way too many times we as Christians are not thankful for the help that we get. And many times we don't even understand that we're getting help. Can you imagine what our life would be like if God was not there guiding us? If God was not holding us in his hand? We'd be just like the lost. We'd be running around not having any hope at all. But you and I have hope. We have the hope in Christ. Now, look at Psalm 30, 1 and 2, and we'll see David is thankful. In verse 1, it says, I will extol. Now, that simply means glorify. It says, I will extol or glorify thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. In other words, he helped him in his wars. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee. That means he pleaded, he prayed, and thou hast healed me. Now, if we look, we're just going to look at a couple more. Psalm 33:20. Just turn over and three more Psalms. And we'll see David say, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our helper and our shield. He's talking about Israel now. Last one, of course, is Psalm 54:4. And here again, this is what the title of our message is this morning. In Psalm 54:4, it says, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. You see, you understand, David knew his frailty, and he knew that he needed help from the Almighty God, both through the bad times in his spiritual life and through the bad times in his physical life. He relied on God to protect him from the physical dangers. And I believe this morning most Christians lose sight of the fact that we all have exactly the same God today that David had back then. So if we have the same God, why wouldn't he do the same for you and I? The answer to that question is he would and he will. But whether he does or not depends on you and me. We must have that same blind trust It's a hard thing to do. That David had both in asking and thanking God for what happened in our life. Look with me, if you will, at Philippians 4, 6, and 7. God tells us right from his word how we can have the type of relationship that David had with God. Now, this is hard to do. It's hard for some of us to relax. It's hard for some of us not to be impatient. But here's a promise from God to those that are patient. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now, you know, that means anything in our life that's going on, we need to give thanks for. I think of my wife, Jeannie, laying in bed this morning. Can't, just so tired she can't get out of bed. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you the truth, it's hard to be thankful for that. But let me tell you, I have something to be thankful for. She's still with me. And I can thank God for that. Because I don't know what I would do without my wife. But it says, in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I pray all the time for my wife. I pray all the time for this church. And when we do that, in verse 7, he promises a peace. And we talked about this the other night. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, if we have Christ in our heart, and we live with Christ in our heart, we understand that he's there. We have a personal relationship with him. We don't just say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to do what I want to do. We need to be thinking about our spiritual life at all times. You see, this type of trust, it's so very important because the Bible says we ask doubting. So if I ask God doubting that Jeannie would ever get well, if I ask God doubting that this church will ever fill up, he says, don't look for anything to happen, boy. Look at James 1, 6 through 8. Because he promised those that waver, nothing, absolutely zero, zilch. James 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. In other words, when he asks God for something, we ought to have the faith that he's going to answer. Because I tell you what, God is going to answer your prayer. He always answers your prayer. It just may not always be the way we like it. May not always be the way we want, but he says, I'll answer your prayer. But here in verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. In other words, when we pray, we shouldn't have any doubt that God's going to answer the prayer. Because he says, I will. He says, let him that ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven by the wind and tossed. The word wavering has the meaning of unbelief or hesitation in either our God's ability or his willingness to answer your prayer. Keep in mind, your prayer is going to be answered. He tells us that. It just may not be the way we want it. We're promised nothing if we don't have the faith in his ability. See, that's where you and I run into a problem a lot of times. We pray, but we don't have the faith that God's going to do it. And what's God say? Don't expect anything if you don't have the faith that he's going to do it. It says in James 1, 7 and 8, it says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, if we have more faith in ourselves than we do in God. In other words, we have more faith in our ability to do something than we have in God's ability and willingness. He says we'll be unstable in all our ways. Now the question, just who is his helper? The Old Testament always refers to God as the one that helps. And of course, he is, but If you remember, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he verified that the Holy Spirit would be our helper. Look back at our text of John 14:16. This is Jesus speaking. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide in you forever." Now, I want to draw your attention to the word "another." If we're going to get a second comforter, the first thing we need to see is who was the first, and what was he here to, what was his help for us? And of course, the answer to that would always be Jesus. Jesus was our first comforter. He was sent from God the Father to save you and I from our sins, and thus comforting us in the promise of eternal life in the kingdom of God. You see, the whole purpose of Christ being on this earth in the first place was to pay the price for our sins. He wasn't here because he wanted to be here. He didn't go through all this stuff because he wanted to. He went through all this stuff because of you and I, folks. He was here to pay the price for our sins, to help those that want help by exempting them from the fires of hell. So he came to be our propitiation. That means he came to be in place for our payment for our sins. Romans 3:25, it says, "Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." That means a replacement through faith in his blood. That means we have to have faith in his blood if we want him to cover our sins. "To declare the righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Because the Bible's very clear. I don't care who you are or where you're at. You're a sinner. And your sins will be paid for one way or the other. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." God does absolutely require a payment be made for sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Every man, woman, and child in this world today, or that has ever lived or ever will live, have the choice to make on how they want their sins to be paid. They can only do it while on this earth. Either they can accept Jesus as their personal Savior, or if you choose to pay for your sins yourself, the price will be eternity in the fires of hell. That's the only way you will pay your sins without Christ. Jesus was sent by God to pay that price for all our sins. It's a free gift to those that are willing to accept it. It is something that we as individuals deserve. None of us deserve salvation. Not a single one of us. But Christ came just so you could be saved. And I believe right now Jesus is waiting. He's welcoming Christians every second or so. I don't know how often a Christian dies. I don't know the statistics, but we know there's Christians dying probably every second. And he's waiting in heaven with the Father to welcome them with open arms. Those who came that way through the blood of Christ. John 14:1-4. John 14:1-4 says, "Let not your heart be troubled." In other words, don't worry about it, folks. "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." But let me tell you, there's only one way not to have a troubled heart. I'll tell you what, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you can't remember a time when you knew that you were a sinner. You knew that if you were to die that second, that you were going to go to hell. If there's never been a time in your life when you understood that, a time when you knew you needed a Savior, a time when you knew that it was Jesus that died on the cross for you, it was a time when you knew it was the blood of Jesus Christ that saved you. And the only way you could enter into the kingdom of God is through Christ. And Jesus is very, the Bible is very clear. Jesus says, I'm the way. Allah's not the way. Buddha's not the way. That white cow over there, whatever that cow is, the Hindus worship, that's not the way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man. That's all inclusive, folks. That is all inclusive. That doesn't mean some of us can go to God the way we want to go. People say there's many, many roads to heaven. Trust me, there's only one. And that's the way through Jesus Christ. Now getting back to our text for this morning, we know that the Spirit, or the Comforter, is the Holy Spirit, who, as we know, is our, it's not Jesus. Jesus was our Savior, an intercessor, and stands at the right hand of God right now. And he maketh intercession for you and I by the Holy Spirit. It's not God the Father, because the Bible says he's still on his throne and ruling in the universe. Psalm 11:4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the eyelids and try the children of men. We also see here that his temple and his throne are in heaven, and that's where God the Father is, was, and always will be. And Jesus is there today, sitting at his right hand. So the second intercessor, or the second comforter we're talking about, of course, is the Holy Spirit. In 14:26, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now this verse tells us a lot about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And we'll come back here in a little bit and take a little closer look at that. But first I want to go back to our second verse of our text, which is verse 17 of John 14. And we find the name of the second comforter. It says, even the Spirit of truth, in John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. We see some things here about the Holy Spirit. First, we see that he is a Spirit of truth. He's not coming to the unsaved. He will come to the unsaved if they accept Christ. It says, whom the world cannot receive. The lost folks in this world today, there's no way they can receive the Holy Spirit without Christ's blood. It says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. The unsaved will never understand, because they never knew the first comforter. Saved will know him, for in John 14:7 says, but ye, talking about the saved here, know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. What a blessing that is, to know that we have the Spirit of God living in us. And I wonder how many of us allow him to do the work that he was sent to do. I'd like for you to note, the Bible says that he dwelleth in you. You see, Jesus was telling the apostles these things. Yet at the time he was telling the apostles, the Holy Spirit was not in them permanently. He, like all the years before, where men at times would leave, the Holy Spirit would be with them and then gone. You see, it happened to Solomon. It happened to David. Happened to a lot. The Spirit came and the Spirit went. This would not happen. He would not dwell permanently in the body of man until Jesus had died on the cross. The time Jesus said, it is finished, bowed his head and died, and has gone to sit at the right hand of God, the Holy Spirit would neither enter man, would enter man, including the disciples, the day of Pentecost, along with the 3,000 that Peter preached to and was saved that day. That's why Jesus said he must go away. See, they both could not be here at the same time. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient That means absolutely necessary that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. You see, the Holy Spirit helps each and every one of us as born-again Christians. He helps us in many ways, and just to look at a few, back in John 14:26, John says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. Listen to that. Now, he shall teach you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He says he'll teach you all things. That means he's going to teach us all things that Jesus said. And every word in this King James Bible was inspired by Jesus, was inspired by God. And the Bible's going to be the only way that's going to help us know what God really desires of us. The Bible teaches us all the principles of life. For instance, how to live our life in a godly manner. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. That means don't go home and live in the world. That means when we go home today, we ought to be spiritual. He says, we'll teach you. He's going to teach us not to covet things. Says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Conversation means way of life. He convicts the Christians about one's duty to give God his part of your paycheck. And what he says about those that don't. Malachi 3:8-9. He says, will man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have I robbed thee? In tithing, God says, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He's talking to the nation of Israel at this time, but he's also talking to you and I. And to me, this is very scary to be cursed by the Almighty. And yet this warning to those that refuse, still many do. He will convict us about being in church when the doors are open. He tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but the exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching, yet many don't. Yet many only come once in a while. Bible promises that he's going to help us pray. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And it says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that's a fact. You and I, when we pray, we could be praying from the heart. But if it's not God's will, the Holy Spirit's going to make intercession for us. Say, well, that preacher, that big dummy, he don't know what he's talking about. Here's what he really is talking about. I mean, that's what the Spirit of God says. He says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So I understand the Holy Spirit has a job of intercessing. He knows our hearts, folks. He knows what's in our heart. He knows what we're thinking. And then we have an intercessor right beside God. We have Jesus interceding for us at the right hand of God. And we have the Holy Spirit praying for us when we don't know what to pray for. What more could a person ask for? Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you following the things that God says is important in our life? Are you wavering when you ask God for something? Do we pray and in our hearts say, I know it's probably not going to be that way anyhow. God says, well, if you don't believe, you don't get nothing. I know that's bad English, but... Jeannie's not here, so she won't get on my case, but she don't like me to use poor English. But I grew up with Loudonville hillbilly language, so, you know, I'll throw in an eight every now and then and some of these things. But the question is this morning, are you following God's will when you're in church? Are you following God's will when it comes to your finances? Because if not, we're willing. We're actually, I have a hard time understanding how somebody, anybody, could want a curse from God. But it says in Malachi 3:9, you're cursed with a curse because ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. I know sometimes people don't like to hear these kind of messages. But when I was called to preach, I promised God I'd teach the whole counsel of God. And this is part of the counsel of God. And we must all understand it's not me up here telling you this. You heard it from the mouth of God himself. And if you don't believe me, just go to Malachi 3:8 and you look for it yourself. Look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews 10:25. That wasn't me talking about you assembling yourself together. But let me ask you this morning, where are you at in your life with the Almighty God? Are you where you know God wants you to be? You know, if you're not, this morning would be a good time. This morning would be a very good time to turn over that new leaf.